Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Triple M NRL Primetime. Thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Now we will get to this game very shortly. Such an important game for Manly coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon against the Tigers. That'll be our match of the day here on Triple M for Brighton's, and Dan Ganane will take you through the call of that game. And of course, download the app now. You'll be ready for the finals at triplem.com.au. It's Maroon, it's Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis and Paul Kent in Sunday NRL for Brighton's lawyers this afternoon. And look, we didn't get a chance to discuss this earlier. Let's discuss now. With the demise of the Western Force in the Super Rugby competition, so they're going to take this to probably take it to court and fight it. But it looks like the Western Force won't be taking part in the Super Rugby competition anymore. So they'll be out of Perth. Perth won't have a rugby franchise. We often talk about rugby league re-entering Perth, where it did have a few.
Oh, well, their 15 fans will be upset.
Oh, well, see, that's how you, when you kick a bloke when they're down.
Mm. And, you know, that's the only way I know what to do.
Well, you present yourself as some sort of Queensland origin royalty, and then you want to kick the Western Force while they're down.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going over there for holidays anytime soon. It's too far. I can get to Bali and Fiji quicker.
Yeah, it's a good spot, and there's a lot of rugby league supporters there, expatriates of New South Wales and Queensland.
How do you get to Bali quicker when you go in the same direction? And you go past Perth on the way to Bali.
Can I talk to you about Perth? When we went over there for South,
because you can talk to me about Perth. Yeah,
for 3 years. The first time we went there was like say about three or four media guys.
Yeah.
The next time we went there, it was like huge coverage, and they started to sell out. And I know there's a lot of expats over there working in the mines or whatever, but it was getting a lot of traction when we were going over there with South. So fast forward 7 or 8 years, and they kept on taking a game there. And I don't know, for some reason it always pelts down rain, that game in Brisbane, and it was pouring down rain. So the weather, and this year I think it was raining, and the Warriors go.
It's wet season.
But you know what? When we played the first ever game against the Western Reds, and that was for the Dragons, and they had a really healthy crowd then. I think that when they got kicked out of the comp,
What's your point?
I'm learning
just
from you.
Just tell us.
I'm learning from you. I watch 360 and you never get to it.
Now.
So I just know how to work this.
I'd be very careful going there. Say something interesting then.
Well, I think there's a real chance for the NRL, and we've always been talking about it. I think with the time changes, I think we should get there right now. So I just wanted to lay a little bit of a storyline into it.
We certainly did. We fluffed the pillow, so to speak.
We're talking about fluffy pillows. Where have you been lately? Hey? Having fluffy pillows
you can
on your mind.
My pillow anytime, God.
So, fellas,
Paul, what
here's the question. The question is, the NRL, should the NRL now fast-track into Perth?
I just answered it for you.
Yeah. Well, you didn't really. But you filled in about 4 minutes.
I don't think. There's a lot of people saying now that rugby union is out, we should be moving, rugby league should be moving in. It's the wrong thinking. Yes, we do need a team there, okay? The game needs to expand it, but there's no plans for expansion. The worst thing the game could do was to rush a team in to Perth, not properly set up, not properly structured the way they're going to finance it and all that, and then in 2 or 3 years' time we say, you know what, we've made a mistake here.
Could they take 5 games there? Would you structure it?
Oh, they've got it. Look, I think the game needs to sit down and needs to do a feasibility study about what sponsorship dollars are over there, what potential memberships are going to look like, what potential crowds are going to look like, and therefore they can sit down and with proper information say, okay, well, if we do put a team there, this is how much income from the local community is going to come into the team. This is how much as a game we need to fund it to keep it sustainable. And then from there, what they can then do is make a decision about whether it's worthwhile running a club over there. But to sit there and say, well, you know what, the force are out, I don't think that should ever have been a factor.
Yep.
We should have done this feasibility study anyway. It's inevitable that if the rugby league is to expand and become the game that we all want it to be, it has to have a team in Perth. It's inevitable.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we compare ourselves a little bit to the AFL, but the AFL have a model that works and it's effective. So it's cut and paste for those guys. They know that, you know, they have all these sort of reductions, whether it be with the salary cap, and they bring all these other things into place that they make sure that the expansion is a success. I mean, look at the Giants at the moment.
The Suns aren't a success. The Brisbane Lions aren't a success at the moment. And even how the GWS are good, but what they do is they hang in there. The decisions they make, they're prepared to back it long term, and that's what we've got to get to.
And that's what we need. And if we're going to go there, is it a new team that we take, or is it an existing team? Too many teams in Sydney? I think that's the thing that we need to get
now,
right.
Now, if we go with the concept that it's a whole new team, and I'm just speaking hypothetically now. So if we needed one new team, wouldn't we need two new teams? How do we avoid the buy? But let's just say we needed one new team. Aren't we even spreading the talent a bit thin with 16 teams?
Yeah.
Let alone one more?
Well, that's
so I think so.
That's why expansion...
Relocation
is probably the best option.
Mm. Paul, who would you relocate right now? If you had to make one tough decision, just pick a team.
You can't tell a team. What you've got to do is you've got to raise the bar to a point where one of the probably Sydney clubs says, we can't sustain ourselves any longer here. And they need to find alternative income sources, which is a market that isn't saturated with rugby league. So what I would do is I would continue to raise the salary cap until you get to a point where a club, because the NRL is in a position to do this now. Under the next broadcast deal, under the current one, we saw Gold Coast taken over by the NRL. We saw Newcastle Knights taken over by the NRL. We saw St. George take a loan out from the NRL. We saw West Tigers bailed out by the NRL. Okay. Under this next one, which begins at the end of this year, that money's not longer there anymore. It won't be there. So if a club gets itself in financial trouble, it can't do that. So what the NRL needs to do is subtly, just slowly start to tighten the screws a little bit and just raise the bar until the team says, you know what, our only hope for survival is to relocate and find a new market that's not filled with rugby league clubs. Well, and once they get over there, then what they can do is they have first crack at all this sponsorship and marketing and all the rest of it over there. But it's a very delicate, it's a delicate operation to do it.
Well, a couple of years ago, if I was the boss, I would have sent Cronulla. And I'd move Roosters to Adelaide.
Geographically, Cronulla are the perfect club, okay? Because they are totally surrounded by St. George Illawarra, and they are basically
the dictator.
They're a team that used to be St. George territory.
Yeah, that's right.
Before Cronulla came into the competition. But I will say Cronulla are very financial.
They've won a grand final.
That's irrelevant because in 5 years' time, when you need to put the team there, they probably won't be the premiers. But they are financially sound. They own their own ground. They've got a lot of money coming in with the developments that they're doing down there. So they're in pretty good shape. So they aren't going to feel the pressure. So I don't know.
What about this mob?
What the team is.
What about the West Tigers?
Well, they make sense too. West Tigers playing out of Perth, they can still be called the West Tigers playing out of Perth. So from that, from a branding point of view, it works. And from a geographical point of view, I know that they've got this. The NRL season is quite a valuable resource because they've got this corridor that begins here at Leichhardt and just weaves its way through Sydney, through the Canterbury and Parramatta Juniors, all the way out to Campbelltown. And they fill up a lot of territory, so to speak.
But they don't really have a home, do they? Like, when you talk about West Tigers, and if they went to Perth, then they'd definitely have a home. So Penrith, right? So you can identify Bulldogs. They would.
You don't want to lose Penrith. Penrith is a growing community, and you don't want to surrender ground.
And Parramatta, you couldn't lose.
You don't want to lose Parramatta either. What you will do is you will succeed ground to AFL.
Yep. And then
you need a team that
Dogs.
Well, probably. The Dogs, geographically probably could. You could probably, you know, that the Canterbury Juniors could be absorbed by the Parramatta / West Tigers Juniors if you want. So you could probably do that over time. But again, you could, the Canterbury people will argue, well, why doesn't West Tigers move and we'll take their juniors, because they could move as easily into West Tigers territory for much of it. So there's reasons there. The NRL at some point, and we're not this far advanced with the commission, but at some point the NRL's got to have to make a decision about where it goes with its future. We need to sit down right now and we say, okay, what does the NRL look like in 20 years' time? What's our competition look like? Where are the teams playing from? And once we decide that, then we figure out how to get there. Unfortunately, what we're doing it backwards. We have this sort of natural evolution where we just let the game grow as it seems to. Okay, you know, for example, 3 years ago, Cronulla was the side everyone said was the likely one to go. Now suddenly they're financially viable and it's not the side to go. We need to be smarter than going with current trends and current markets. We need to actually say, what's our game look like in 20 years? What's it look like in 50 years? How do we now get there? And then we need to start putting the steps in place to get there.
Well done. What about, would you move the Roosters to Adelaide?
No, I think the Roosters need to be, I think they're a strong brand here in Sydney.
4,000 people to every game.
Yeah,
but counted with a fork.
That's an issue. That is an issue. But by the same token, it's where the Swans are. So you don't want to vacate that part of the city and just let that become all AFL. Because while there's not a lot of people going to the games, it is a population dense part of the city. Right. A lot of apartments. There's not a lot of juniors. I get that. But again, that's because of the different lifestyle. But that means there's a lot of disposable income there, because there's a lot of people in their 20s who haven't begun families yet and all that sort of thing.
So you're telling me you move south then?
Well,
it's nice here to join.
But now you're starting to see the difficulty. Yeah, the NRL
and then there are the questions. But then the question I always ask myself: if you go now and ask a North Sydney fan, would you still rather see your team play, you know, six home games or six away games in Sydney where you can go and watch them? They'd say yes.
But see,
if you go ask a Newtown guy, you'd say yes.
Even if Newtown and North Sydney were playing out of Perth, and you as a, it's like the Swans in South Melbourne. A lot of Melbourne people who grew up as Swans fans, as South Melbourne fans, they didn't want to see their team move to Sydney. But once it became a reality, it was still their team.
They
didn't particularly like it that they were no longer playing out of Melbourne, but they were still their team.
What about with some of the privatised clubs, PK, when they start seeing financial opportunity here as opposed to, obviously, the clubs owned by the members? Could they then probably pick up, or could they even initiate an opportunity saying, hey, you know what? It's time for us to go.
Yeah, they could.
Would that be easier for the league then?
It could happen. Gerz, the problem we have there is when you relocate, let's look at South Sydney. South Sydney, under that model, are probably the club to do that. And the reason being is they have owners who could financially sustain the change. Not so much Russell Crowe, more James Packer. Because the history of relocation in the States, when teams, baseball, NFL teams relocate, is, while they leave their fans behind, they go to a new market and they create new fans. So the fans have a small consideration, but not a great one. But generally what happens is the city that's taking them in puts some sort of financial incentive for the team to come. They either build them a stadium, but they have some guarantees around that. So therefore, because those clubs are all privately owned, there's a financial incentive for the owners to say, yes, we're going to do that. And often they use that as part of a negotiating ploy with their current city. If you don't build us a stadium, which has happened recently, if you don't build us a stadium, we're out of here. The Oakland Raiders became the LA Raiders. They went back to being the Oakland Raiders. They're about to become the Las Vegas Raiders because the team is moving and the owner is happy to move them wherever
there's opportunity, and
they're trying to find new markets all the time.
Yeah.
And we need to have a grown-up conversation there, because the minute you say, we're going to move south or we're going to move West Tigers, all the rusted-on fans, they get upset. And the game's got to admit that that's a reality, but there'll be hopefully a whole city of new fans that say, well, you know, we want a side as well.
Whatever it is, though, whatever team it is, the thing I think makes it not work is if they say, but we'll still play three games in Sydney, or we'll still play four games. Like, you're either Perth's team or you're not Perth's team.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Sunday Triple M NRL.
They're going to play games in Sydney anyway when they come over here to play the other teams.
Absolutely.
So that should satisfy the people that they leave behind to some degree.
Okay, 36-30. This game was West Tigers 24-0. Now it's West Tigers 36-30. That's Holden Cup. And we've got the other game, which is underway at the moment. I'll just get a score update.
18-6.
18-6 still. The Raiders lead the Warriors 18-6. Those scores are thanks to Tyre Power, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, and Paul Kent and Anthony Maroon. We're going to take a break and come back with the Iveco Trucks preview of the West Tigers and Manly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M NRL Primetime. Thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to it. A beautiful afternoon at Sydney's Leichhardt Oval for this game today between the West Tigers and Manly. Full-time Holden Cup, West Tigers 36, Manly 30. 36-30, West Tigers win that one. And I talk about the history of Leichhardt Oval. Of course, I remember too as a young bloke coming here to watch Rabs call the MCO Cup. And I think that night it might have been the Rabbitohs versus Riverina or the Rabbitohs versus Monero or something crazy like that. Four-quarter footy with the great Rabs calling it alongside Keith Barnes. Geez, they were good days at this wonderful venue. Anyway, the West Tigers team for today, there is at least one change. Let's have a look at them. Tedesco's the fullback. Norfoluma and Watini Zalesniak, the wingers. Masters Nguama in the centres. Lolahia and Brooks, the halfbacks. Woods McKilrick, Tim Grant. And then the back row. 11 is gone. 16 is Michael Cheekam. 12, Ellie Taylor. 13, Matthew Eisenhuth. And then the bench. Twal, Sue, Little John, and Aloye. Okay, now let's have a quick look at Manly at the moment. I'm just getting handed these changes as I speak, and there's none to Manly. And that's all thanks to our mates at Mungrel Boots, who have been on board with us here at Triple M for so long with those safety boots for work. They feel good. They're good to wear. The mighty Mungrel Boots, scuff cap, and zip side boots now available to suit every trade. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent and Gordon Tallis, we spoke about the importance of this game for Manly if they can get a win, but we do see some great nuisance value out of a team like West Tigers, and the two coaches, old mates, and they used to work together as well.
Yeah, well, look, the West Tigers, they can be a thorn in anybody's side the way they play, and Ivan Cleary, you can see that he's made a little bit of a difference, but in the end, how much are you playing for? So when you play against teams like this, you just got to make sure the scoreboard's in your favour. You're making them coming off their own try line. You don't give them any cheap turnover football. And generally, they normally give up and shut up shop a little bit early because they don't have anything to play for. But the Tigers have been having a go every week. But you would suggest after listening to both coaches' interviews that Manly are up for this match and they're going to play for a top four.
The one thing I'll say, though, is while we are getting towards the end of the season, the Tigers are building towards something, and what Ivan Cleary has been doing at the club, we're now just starting to see the early fruit of that. And so I don't think they are your traditional team running second last, getting towards the end of the season, losing interest, get an early lead, they'll drop away. I think Ivan has basically put the challenge to the players that he's rebuilding the club. And so he's looking for something from them. And what he's looking for is performance and consistency and an application to the job. And that comes down to today when they play Manly and they're playing against a finals team and a side that they're going to have to really be on their game to stop a landslide score against them. Because we do know that once the Seagulls get going, if their momentum's all going their way, then they're a side that can put a lot of points on you. Tommy Trbojevic is just in rare form at the moment. He's got to be, I'll be honest, he's got to be the New South Wales. I know Tedesco...
Are you getting rid of him?
Yeah, I think Tommy Trbojevic's got to be the New South Wales fullback next year.
Okay, well...
Absolutely.
If West Tigers do... West Tigers are still a chance, Ryan, of getting the wooden spoon.
Yeah, they are.
In the ups and downs of their history, they've not had a wooden spoon since the joint venture came together.
No.
Well, they lose today. They're last.
Well, they're last at the moment anyway.
Yeah,
On four. And, actually, they're levelled last.
They're levelled last. That's why if they lose today, they stay in the same competition, but their four and against falls worse than Newcastle.
Yep, yep. No, and it's certainly something that they wouldn't have expected, a situation when Ivan took over, looking obviously to move forward. And I think they have made leaps and bounds in the way that they perform. Last week, they were disappointing, though. I think they sort of went away from what they'd been doing really well. I think there was opportunities against Penrith to put in to almost, you know, really dominate parts of that game, because Penrith certainly weren't up to scratch in the first half, but they just couldn't take advantage of the situation, and they'll need to be a lot better today if they're going to compete.
Okay, who wins today and by how many, Ryan?
Yeah, look, I think there's way too much to play for Manly. 12 points, and then all of a sudden they win by 12, they're in the four. So I think Manly will come out and do it comfortably.
Okay, what about you, Gordy?
I think Manly, and I think Manly will do a job on them. I think the way they played the second half against the Roosters, I think Manly are back in the winning circle.
Paul Kent?
Yeah, they'll put a score on them today. I think that Manly have got their tails up. It's a dry day. It's going to be one of those days where they just enjoy playing footy, and I think there'll be plenty of open football, and Manly have got so much to play for, and I think they're a side that's really very good at applying themselves at the moment, so I don't think they'll be distracted or get ahead of themselves, as can happen to some teams.
About 18 gone, second half in New Zealand's Mount Smart Stadium. The Raiders 18 lead the Warriors 10. And full-time here, West Tigers had a win in Holden Cup. Crowd really starting to build. I don't think we're going to get to capacity, but certainly a decent crowd for Leichhardt Oval, where the West Tigers do play a couple of games here across the season. And isn't the pitch in wonderful condition?
Great condition, absolutely. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of people that like to see more footy here, but the benefit of not playing a lot here is every time we turn up, it's the back end of the season, the pitch is in immaculate condition.
Now, we also talk about all the traditional things we see here at Leichhardt Oval, where you can't not easy to park, obviously, and you know, you can sit on the hill. And somebody, one of you guys, commented on the way in, you saw a hot dog man. We used to have a hot dog man at Redfern Oval when we were kids, but my mum would never let us get a hot dog from the hot dog man at Redfern Oval because she saw him go into the toilets.
Oh, here we go.
And reckons the poor bloke outside just gone broke. No, it's not the bloke. This guy's from the 70s, mate. This guy's okay. He's already at Rookwood.
Well, why are you even bringing it up then?
Well, I'm just trying to add to the... You guys are all just about out of steam.
Mate.
You've only got to get through a couple more sets and you can all go home. Well, you can anyway, Kenty. So that's what I'm just trying to think. Have you got anything to add to that?
Just,
or?
Yeah, just shoot the poor old hot dog.
No, but he's already dead, mate.
He's probably wearing rubber gloves, this bloke over there.
Now, this guy would have to pass all the hygiene tests, wouldn't he? On the local council.
Oh, yeah. OH&S would be around somewhere.
Okay, boys.
Tell us about that, Gers. What
goes on with that?
You need a food ofty supervisor, a safety supervisor.
Right.
And, they've got to do a course.
Got to wear a hairnet.
Most of your chefs do it. And, they've got to know all the rules and regulations. And you get checked up, and it costs you about $400. I know more about how much it costs you every time you get one of those council guys coming in and send you a $400 bill. But, it's important these days. You don't want people eating at your restaurant and getting ill.
Well, do they just come in random, do they? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. No, they don't come in random, but they wait till the busiest day of the week, which is usually like a Friday afternoon. They don't work weekends, of course. Mm. And they wait until about 12:30 when they know you're going to be the busiest.
Yeah.
And it's going to be chaos. And they try and walk in and do their job then. It's
don't start sledging them.
No, I'm not sledging them.
They'll target you.
We do. Yeah. I get targeted already.
Well, you know, because there's this near where I live.
We do need them, though. We need to make sure that everyone's on the straight and narrow. It's a good thing.
Near where I live, not to name the suburb or the name of the shop, but there's one of those
everyone
places.
Everyone knows you Little Bay.
Well, but there's a lot of suburbs around Little Bay.
Okay.
There's this one of these places that sells those pork rolls with the chili and the carrot.
Yeah.
And about 5 years ago, they got done for not being clean. And I wouldn't care if NASA took over that joint now. You know, you just would not go back there, would you? You just would not go back.
This is a bloke that eats his prawns, shell and all, and you're complaining about how food's prepared?
It'd be interesting whether he can continue to eat his prawns, shell and all.
I know.
Now he's got new teeth.
Yeah. The porcelain veneer.
These teeth work. Where they work very well.
Yeah, I know. Oh, tell me about it.
24-10 Raiders.
You've gone through three mics.
24-10 Raiders leading the Warriors. Kenny, we'll see you next week. We'll catch up with you on NRL 360.
Cannot wait.
Gordon Tallis, always a pleasure.
Pleasure, Anthony.
And Ryan Girdler.
Thanks, Tony.
Have a great call this afternoon with Dan Ganane. Who's it next? It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M NRL Primetime. Thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
Sunday afternoon. The lawn's mowed. The fridge is stocked.
Time for some footy.
Here we go.
Oh, what a wonderful game.
You can't give them opportunities.
Oh, huge result.
In 2017, here we go. Triple M gives you more footy than ever before.
It's a beautiful score.
Thanks to our good mates at Brighton's Lawyers.
Let's go!
Welcome. This is Sunday Afternoon Footy on the Triple M Network.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. We are now part two of the Sunday Triple M Match of the Day, and we just can't bang on enough about what a beautiful day it is in Sydney, and we seem to have been saying that a lot the last few weeks, and it's the most perfect day for footy here at Leichhardt Oval. As Maroon said, it doesn't look like it's going to be capacity, but a good vibe, and they're pouring in through the gates here. We're about 40 minutes away from kickoff. Now, the early game, Raiders have that one in hand, it would seem. They lead 28 points to 10 now over the Warriors. So, back-to-back tries. Oh, you beauty. Rapana scored. Gerds, I've got him in my super... It's first
really?
Week of Supercoach finals. And
yes.
He and Leilua and Kotrick have got them all, and they've all scored today. So, not that it's all about me. 28 points to 10, the kick will be from out wide. And that just makes it... In fact, no, the kick is good. So, 30 to 10 now with 15 to go. So, that just adds a little bit to
sure
this
does.
Race for the top eight, because you've got... the Cowboys are starting to fade.
Yeah.
They're on 28. You've got Manly on 28, their game in hand. The Dragons are on 26, Penrith are on 28, and also now Canberra on 24. By the way, let me just welcome Billy Harrigan, who thinks it's appropriate to wear shorts to work. Hello to you.
Leichhardt Oval.
They're cracking legs.
Beautiful
though,
day.
I mean, I don't really look at men's legs, but if I was, I'd say that's a pretty good set you've got there, Billy.
Chicken legs.
No wonder you're showing them off. No wonder you're showing them off.
No, I want to send out a cheerio to me. I've just come from my dad's 80th birthday party.
Oh,
all the family, so we quickly did the 80. Cake and a few speeches. And
how good.
And I had the race off, so I couldn't have a Guinness with him.
Are they listening?
And they're listening, yeah. I told them
is
all.
Is that right? Hello,
over, so.
Everyone there.
Yep, happy birthday, Bill.
Thank you. So I parked up the road. And
we got to see.
Jogged in, that's why I'm in shorts and stuff.
Yeah. Is this the... Okay, fine.
So I knew you were trying to park in the car park.
If shorts are now acceptable attire, then at least now we can all run up to the finals.
If it was really hot, I would have put shorts on as well. It was 28 degrees in Brizzy yesterday. Damn gorgeous day. You know when you sort of go...
You always have to one-up Sydney, don't you?
No, I don't, because it's gorgeous weather here too.
Oh, yeah, it was 28 in Brisbane yesterday.
Look how good it is over there on the hill now.
We know Brisbane, it's beautiful. You don't have winter there.
Yeah, but you know what? I say that and you guys get jealous.
Yes,
which means in about 2 weeks' time it's going to be 30 and it's like, oh, God, when's it going to cool off?
Yeah, winter's in Brisbane, summer's in Sydney.
Exactly.
That would be perfect. Great show, by the way, yeah, with Kenty and Maroon and yourself. There's some great discussion. Suliasu Vunivalu has been charged with contrary conduct for his flying karate.
Is that a fine?
It's a fine.
Are you kidding?
So I'm struggling.
I told you.
Either you charge the bloke and you got to give him weeks, or he doesn't connect. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you've just seen it there, Billy.
What do you think?
I just look at it and think, well, okay, he jumps up and makes contact with him, but where's the rule that says you can't do that? If he was diving over for a try and he just leapt right up into the air and dived over the top.
You're leading then with the football. You're not leading with your knees.
Well, if you hurdle the bloke.
So you can't. What? So what about
but
now?
But who got hurt?
Yeah, but potentially the defender. And we can't have players doing that week in,
every
week
time
out.
You take a hit up.
But you can't raise your knees like that. So if there's a guy that you're running at, you'd bring Darren Fritz back into the game and all of a sudden he goes to, and you raise your knee, what happens?
Well,
you mightn't hurt him, but you get suspended.
You can't lead with a knee like that.
So what's the difference?
But it looks good, right?
What's
and when
the
it looks good,
Billy?
Play on.
What's the difference?
He said it. It looks spectacular.
Okay.
It was a spectacular bit of athleticism. But surely a moment like that is completely instinctual. Like, he's not thinking, I'm going to collect two blokes with my one left knee.
Mate, you got it right first. He's not thinking.
We're going to penalise those two defenders for closing the gap.
Hey?
Well, he was going to jump through between them, so they've closed the gap. I'm talking Oztag now. You can't close the gap.
Has that ever crossed your mind? Like, to run in the defensive line and jump as high as you can?
If I had his athleticism,
look, I have no problem with the charge, but I don't think it's something where he should be sitting on the bench for a week. So
fine, I'm happy with the fine. You'd say, do that again, mate. That's it. But
I don't want to get into an
It's the first time, like, in 108 years, have you seen anybody? Like, you watch it in a gridiron. Every now and then, jump over and you look at that. And in basketball, where it's non-contact, people jump over people's head to slam dunk and all that kind of thing.
Well, jumping.
He's just an athlete that might watch a whole variety of sports and then brought it into his own repertoire.
Listen,
this is amazing.
The whole NFL, if he hadn't got over the top of them, if he hadn't made it over the top of them, everyone is just saying, how good was that?
Need a lolly.
No one's whinging.
Oh, what? Don't, if he jumped over the base
and didn't touch any of them,
kept on running and scored a try.
Yeah.
And when you say eat a lolly, please don't put those fake teeth in.
They wouldn't fit.
Especially in Maroon's
mouth.
Can
you like stop eating on radio?
Well, Dan, we've been here.
It's absolutely disgusting.
We've been here for a while, Dan.
Good. If he made it over the top of the pair of them.
I know, I'm waiting to go to an ad so I can go into this pie. So I'm jealous of you bastards for that you're eating while we're talking.
You and I just keep going, mate, because we're talking this.
No. I don't agree.
If he gets over the top of them and doesn't touch them, lands on his feet and keeps running, you'd have to say, how good was that?
Because there's nothing wrong. If you don't, like, you can throw the all-time great swinging arm, but if it doesn't connect, there's no penalty.
And Bill, and this was my argument with Paul and Ryan, and they both shut me down. I had some great points. I said, how is that different? Someone jumping and using their body, how is that different to someone jumping in the corner to score a try, trying to jump?
They're not leading with their knees.
But you can still get caught with their knees.
Well, you can get caught with the knees, yeah, but there's no intent.
Wow. In the words of Estelle Costanzo, he was treating his body like an amusement park. Now, 30-10 the score.
Wrong with that.
Canberra with 10 minutes to go there, so they're well and truly home. And I watched about 20 minutes of this, so it's hard to judge a team, Gerds, on 20 minutes. But you know what they did? They played. They earned the right. They were just completing their sets. Their forwards were powering up the middle. Then they got a bit expansive. It's
what's
unbelievable. 30-10. But from the start, they were just getting through their sets, and it was like they're actually playing final-style football.
Wow. Okay.
Similar to last week against the Sharks. Now, I didn't see it after that.
My little son, Ethan Tallis, will be doing cartwheels. Tragic Raiders fan.
How does that happen?
I think when he was six or something, he just decided to go for the Raiders. He's 13 now, and he's got a jumper and got jerseys, and when he goes to training, he always puts on the Raiders jersey, shorts and socks.
But it's not as if. So there's a bunch of early.
And they weren't winning grand
finals.
That's
what I was going to say, because there's a whole generation of people in their early 30s that love the Raiders because they fell in love with the green machine. People that live in Sydney or
Brisbane.
There's no reason for Ethan Tallis.
No.
I mean, I admire the fact the kid's going against the grain.
Yeah, and he was up in his other brother, Jack, because Jackson sort of goes whoever wins the grand final, but he has stuck on the Cowboys. So I got a Cowboy and a Raider, and they were sitting there last night. One was going for Penrith, one was going for the Cowboys.
What a game next week, though, Dan. I mean, Penrith versus Canberra in the nation's capital.
Yeah.
That's a 2 o'clock, so same time as today, but that'll potentially be a match of the round.
You've been critical of Penrith.
Yeah, I have.
Did you like their performance last night?
Yeah, I did, especially their second half.
Yeah.
Weren't they
patient?
They were patient, Dan, and it's probably the first time that I've really seen it this year. And I think possibly Matty Moylan coming back into the side, but it's now Ivan Cleary's side, probably contributed to the fact where Matty even said it after the game. He said, you know, Nathan's in such great form that I just had to come back in and work with him. So on the last plays and on those big moments, he allowed, normally Matty would grab the football because he's so good in those moments and go for the big play a lot of the times. But now I think with Nathan's maturity over that period where Matt's been out, if he can take control of some of those moments, as well as let Matty have them when that opportunity's right, they get the balance right, they can be dangerous. But they can't just be all looking for the big play all the time, and I think they were guilty of that through the season.
Because Cowboys, how gutsy were they?
Brilliant.
And you knew they were on the ropes. You knew they had nothing.
They were on the ropes before the kickoff.
And then the lose players, and then you just knew they were gone, but you were thinking, hang on, a Penrith going to panic here, but were you, like me, watching, thinking, nah, they got Cleary, they'll be okay here. You know what? They won't panic because they got Cleary.
And you're talking about a
19-year-old. Isn't that outrageous?
Just his vision, and we spoke to his dad before, Ivan, and I just had to ask him a question.
I heard that. It was a great chat.
And he said that he had to, you know, I mean, and it's good to let him watch his son and watch it without pressure, but just his poise. And Ivan had that, like, no matter what the scoreline was, no matter what kick he had or what play he had, Ivan looked like he was never flustered, and his son has got those mannerisms and then the ability to sort of want the moment, and he's just so humble when he gets it. And I saw Peachy make a little inroad, and then when they showed the replay, because you didn't see it first, I think, oh, that's great reaction time by Cleary. but he's put his hand up and he's gone like that. So he sort of has the knack, the footy knowledge, and he puts a kick through, he dives on it, and the next play he goes through on support, and then big Tamalolo hits him, and I'm thinking, oh, this is it. And he just fends him off.
Yeah.
He just fends him off and dives, and then that was a nail in the coffin for
the other one positive coming out of the fact that, you know, Matty Moylan's been out for a couple of weeks is the form of Tyrone May.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored a try last week.
Oh, may I say.
That we called, and then last night he set up, you know, the one that put the nail in the coffin in the ball to Nathan back on the inside. I mean, I don't know what his story is, but he's come from nowhere, and he's going to be part of their team moving into the back end.
100%. Well, he was off the bench last night.
Yeah. Yep.
Gordy.
Bill wants to keep on. Bill offers me a pie, one more pie. He's offered me a pie six times. I've said no. The seventh time I might say yeah. Stop offering me, Bill.
Why don't I just give it to you?
No, thank you.
There you go.
You're very disciplined, Gordy, and I admire that.
No, we had that
drink last week. You had about 20 beers.
I know, but the chicken schnitzel rolls downstairs. Really good.
Oh, aren't they good?
Chicken rolls. That's discipline, Dan. Look at that.
Oh, look at this. Bananas and salad. And
no, he had a chicken roll as well.
Roma tomatoes.
And I brushed it all for a chicken roll.
Canberra's in again. Kotrick has scored. That's his second. And Croker nails the kick. He's putting up some points today. So the Raiders now are adding to their four and against. They lead 36-10 over the Warriors. This afternoon, Manly. Well, they could enter the top four. But if they slip up at a ground they've really struggled at, and then back in the mire, and not a certainty of making the top eight, and the Tigers are playing to avoid the wooden spoon. So plenty on the line this afternoon here at beautiful Leichhardt Oval. Prime time for Fox League. Triple M rocking the footy for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M NRL Prime Time. Thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
For Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Afternoon Footy on the Triple M Network.
It's the early game. All the Raiders, in fact, the video ref right now is looking at a possible Raiders try. It's a spectacular effort, I think, from Rapana. It won't be given, but 36-10 Rapana. Nonetheless. Oh, right. Oh, no, I can't get used to it. But you know who taught us that? The professor. I never heard his name called Rapana until the professor.
Until Jordan Rapana was on there and pronounced it properly.
It was an ad. It was an ad. I must have been watching the Fox Friday game.
Yeah.
And then the professor's gone, Jordan Rapana is coming off. Who? But there we go. No try given, 36-10. Ryan Girdler, Gordon Talos, Billy Harrigan, Dan Ganane, Brent Reed with us on the sideline as well. If you missed the news, I know you guys have talked about this to death, so we don't need to spend long on it here, but for those that drift in and out of this show, as people do things on a Sunday afternoon.
What do you mean they sleep, Dan?
People have lives, Gerds. They can't be listening for four straight hours.
Because sometimes we do it. We drift in and out of the
and
show.
And isn't it obvious?
Oh,
no, that was nasty. I didn't mean it to be.
Ooh. Yes, it was.
I take it all back.
Can't fight the facts.
Oh, Billy.
Jarrod Hayne and Neil Henry in the Gold Coast are going to have a meeting tomorrow. This has been announced by the club, apparently. What good can come of this, Gordy? I know it's,
I know it's just going to put it to bed. Simply just put it to bed, because we're talking about it and none of us really know exactly what's going on.
So when they have a press conference and they stand there awkwardly and they say, we've sorted it out, no one's going to believe it.
But none of them have spoken
Hang on. Neil Henry was asked specifically, is there a problem? Was Jarrod Hayne, did you want Jarrod at the club? And he didn't say yes. He didn't say no either. But it was, the silence was deafening. And then Jarrod
yesterday. Yeah, but that's his fault, because of course you want good players there. Any person in their right mind would have wanted Jarrod Hayne. Mate, when he was first coming back, every club would have taken him.
Surely the.
Right, and then now.
I don't know. About that.
No, I don't know. Yeah, Parramatta
sure
didn't want
that.
Him. Hey? Parramatta didn't make an offer. There.
They couldn't fit him under the cap.
Because they saw he wasn't value for money.
No, because they couldn't fit him, because they were going through the time and they had to release, I think, Watmau and all those.
It wouldn't have been a good look if he went back to Parramatta.
Yeah, mate.
But why didn't he go to the Roosters?
Well, because they had Tedesco.
No, they didn't. Not at that time, they didn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they had a few meetings.
Because I thought that was a toss of a coin between Tedesco or...
Gordon, you're tight with Rebecca Frizzell. Has this been a good business decision? Have they made money on Jarrod Hayne?
Absolutely.
Because they sold
it. It's not about making money. Was Jarrod Hayne the right business decision? Yes, absolutely. Because you know, we're talking about the Gold Coast Suns, and I saw the article in the paper that Buzz wrote about the GWS. $120 million AFL are spending in Western Sydney to not just to have a, you know, like a side there. They don't want rugby league anywhere near it. They want to be number one. They don't want to be number one. They don't want any other sport player. They want every kid in Australia to grow up playing AFL. So the same in on the Gold Coast, to a fact where they bought Ablett and paid him ridiculous amount of money.
Or Buddy Carmichael Hunt as well.
Buddy Franklin money and all that kind of stuff. And yet they get, I don't know, 6,000 or 8,000 people there. They have $15 million a year to promote. So then there's free tickets, there's DJs, there's everything for kids. They're trying to make it where Gold Coast
and the stadium's
nothing.
In a better spot.
Gold Coast get nothing.
Yeah.
So to have all that and a new sign, Jared Hayne, and the buzz that went around Queensland and even Australia, that was a great ticket. So all the work that they did around it, Jared Hayne come and beat it within 6 months.
They filled the joint twice. They were huge events. Yep. This year they've been unlucky because he got injured in round two.
That's
unlucky. But does that justify? So they've spent, what, $2.5 million on this bloke. Have they made that money back is what I'm asking.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. Well, okay.
And you know what? Me? And I know footy, I would have taken the punt on Jared Hayne. Absolutely, I would have.
Well, though, yes.
Without a doubt. Jared Hayne's coming back. You're sitting here. You need a marquee player. You just missed out on a player that was really good at doing backflips. Would you have thrown money
as
at
a
Jared?
Business decision?
Yes.
100%.
So they made the right decision.
But, you know.
Now, with Jared, and then, you know what? You don't know. I don't know whether Jared, and if he's injured, whether he's carrying injuries.
The funny
or not.
Thing is,
he left the ground last night in the Moonbit.
Yeah.
I don't know how injured. And then, you know what? You don't know until you walk in somebody's body how busted they're playing or what's going on. But if they can go sort it out and Jared Hayne gets close to where he should be and would be, it's a great.
Around the time, just after the signing, we had Graham Annesley on a few times just to speak about, you know, and it was all about, you know, congratulations and the excitement of bringing Jared to the club. But during that period, we sort of went down the track of also, obviously, when you make an investment like that, you do a lot of research. Yeah, you want to make sure that it's a good investment. Yeah. And you wouldn't, it's not just about what Jared can bring on the field, it's off the field, but it's also, you know, it's like a reference. You'd be ringing other clubs and asking about, you know, how he trained and what his personality was like and all this, because, you know, we all love Jared as a player, but we've all heard in the industry that away from, you know, what we see every 80 minutes, I mean, you know, he pushes a few buttons here and there, his training can be, you know, not the best. So it's an investment that you're going to make, but you need all the information when you make that investment. And we spoke to Graham, and he said, no, we're happy with, you know, we've done our due diligence, and we think that he's going to be, you know, the right man for the job.
So Jared Hayne is quoted yesterday saying, I'll quit if they want me to quit.
That's what you'd say, like, pride. Like, if someone says, oh, mate, what's going on? And you go, well, mate, if they don't want me here,
well, the
I'll
first
leave.
Call he would have cop was from would have been from his manager Wayne Beaver saying, "Don't say things like that because we can get a payout out of this mob. If you're going to offer to quit for nothing, that doesn't do any of us any good."
He did say for nothing.
No, he didn't say for nothing. He said, "I'll quit.
I'll walk away.
I'll walk away
with a couple of."
Well, there's going to have to be a
severance.
A severance.
Yeah, of course.
So, okay, let's say, would you get rid of him for $500,000, Gerds? I won't ask you, Gordy. That's not fair. You'll get quoted because you're part of the club.
Next year,
Wayne Beavers and Darren Hayne said, "All right, if you want to cut this bloke loose, $500,000 instead of paying 1.2,
am I the CEO or the coach?
No, well, you know, the
if I'm the coach
CEO.
Who has a bad relationship with him, yes, absolutely.
But you're
because
the
if
CEO.
I can't work with him,
you're the CEO,
go.
Knowing
Tim or me.
You can get 700 more in your cap. That's 700 more you can pay Ash Taylor.
Yes,
you know, because the Broncos are, you know, are sniffing.
Yep."
Do you just say immediately, you know what, let's just call this $500,000, we'll call it a write-off?
Yes.
And then he can go off and play for
rugby
or English rugby or whatever he wants to do.
Yes. Yeah, my main focus is, one, the club. Two, if I'm happy with the coach and these two guys aren't getting on, then it works in that regard. And three, I'm starting to put money aside for Ash Taylor, and not just the $700 that I'm saving, but also the third party deals that it can also be attracted and taken off Jared and given to. He's your franchise player, and you can't have you know, a lot of clubs can't have two of them. So yeah, he'd be my focus.
Let's say hypothetical. This is all hypothetical, everybody. But let's say that happens. He's given a severance and he's a free agent. Do you think any of the 15 clubs put in an offer?
Yes.
a decent offer?
I think, given that he's already going to be paid 500, you probably only need to top it up with a couple of hundred. Yeah, and I think there will be clubs out there for a couple of hundred thousand dollars.
A couple of hundred's a bit different from, say, 500 or 600.
Well, I don't think he would. I think he'd still ask for five or six. He might ask for it, but yeah. I don't think he would get 500 or 600.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's already on 500.
Would any of the 15 make a competitive offer? And when I say competitive, I mean competing with French rugby. And that's the question. No. I don't think they would either.
No.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I think we've done this subject to death, but tomorrow it'll be a big talking point because they're going to have the meeting and apparently they're going to have a press conference. So we'll have that on Dead Set Legends at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, whatever the outcome is with Peter Sterling and myself, and Brent Root will be part of that as well. Full-time, a late try for the Warriors, but it was all Canberra, 36 points to 16. Final score there. Prime time for Fox League. On the other side, we concentrate on this one. West's Tigers, Manly Seagulls. That is your Sunday match of the day. It is the last round of round 23 of the NRL Telstra Premiership. The teams are out there right now going through their warm-ups. Kickoff is about 13 minutes away. Triple M.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future.